No.
No. No.
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years.
You're a cunt, Brian.
Fuck you, cunt.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, cunt.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's episode 75 of No Sir, I Don't Like It. I'm Carmen Morales. I am your host. With me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Mr. Brian Boelke.
75.
Yeah, buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
God damn.
I know. We've been talking for a long time.
75 hours.
75 hours we've been talking to people.
Do you think either one of us will live to see 75?
Yeah. More me than you, definitely.
Wait, what do you mean more me than you?
I think I would be more likely to live to 75 than you will.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it just runs, longevity runs in my family. I didn't pick it, but I got a lot of old people that live to the hundreds, or at least to the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I have my
I got like great great grandparents that used to, like, one of them, I had a great great like uncle in Spain that died on a motorcycle accident, and he was like 94. He died on a motorcycle accident. I had another great.
Was he great, on the motorcycle, great, or did he get run over by one?
No, he was on it.
Oh wow!
He flipped it.
He flipped it.
Yeah, he was like racing through these, like, this mountain road somewhere in Spain, and like hit a rock, and he flipped it and died.
They're like, at 94. We don't know if he shit his pants after he died, or if he had already shit his pants.
And maybe that's why he was rushing. Yeah, yeah, maybe, yeah, that's why he was speeding. And then I have another one that was like, I think 91, that died like by a horse. Like, he got kicked in the head by a horse. Or something like that. He was like,
it's
trying
crazy to
do
make it that far and go out in an accident.
I know.
That's so brutal.
And these were people that would still drink every day, and they were like still, you know, they're those weird Europeans that just exist.
Yeah, yeah, siesta freaks.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I don't think I've ever had a family member make it into the 90s. I have my, I don't think so. My grandmother's husband, but mm-hmm. he's not related to me mm-hmm. by blood. He's 90, or he'll be 90 next month if all things go right. He doesn't get kicked in the head by a horse, which is a possibility. He's out there shooting dogs.
Speaking of shooting dogs, you got, if you're shooting dogs out of your ass, guys, make sure you go to Brondell.com, because
shooting dogs out of your ass.
I don't know. I was just thinking like Dotson's. I'm bad at this advertising.
Wait,
stuff.
Shitting? I thought you were meant shitting hot dogs. That makes way more sense than shitting Dotson's. What are you talking about?
Sure, hot dogs. That works.
Yeah, that sounds like a redneck's way of like talking. Man, I've been shooting dogs at my ass all day. Yeah, that's right. Shooting dogs.
If you're shooting dogs out of your ass, guys.
It's crazy how I lived in the South for so long, and still my Southern accent is based on a guy who's not even Southern.
Who's it based on?
Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
He does that little zzzz.
That's right. Well, that's what you want to do when you sing. You know that? When you sing into a mic, like if you're recording music, mm-hmm. you want to say all your S's as Z's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it doesn't like make a nasty. Like if you listen to old Bob Dylan albums, the S is really painful on headphones.
Oh,
yeah, you want it.
Because is it because it's sharp, like it's piercing?
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. It just makes a bad sound.
I always thought, because I remember with like voiceover, it's like you have to P's and T's.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to pop those P's.
You don't pop them P's. Pop that pussy. Pop
those P's every Saturday. What up?
Go to Brondell.com, guys. They don't just have bidets. They also have air purifiers and water purifiers and shower purifiers. If you just can't get, seems to feel clean after your
shower. I've reached a new level with my Brondell.
What happened?
I no longer do a test pat after.
Really?
Yep. I've come up clean so many test pats in a row. And now I
really
fully trust my Brondell to completely clean my asshole without double
And you've
checking.
Had no skid marks at all?
Well, I mean... That doesn't matter. There's going to be skid marks no matter how clean.
What? Why?
Because it's just, you know, it's the top of a sriracha bottle on a hot day. It's just, it's.
Oh, my God. That's it's always, disgusting.
It's always popping through. You know what I mean?
I don't. I don't know what you mean. I don't have skid marks. That's never been my jam.
It's not my jam. It's jam that I make in my underwear.
Oh my god.
Underwear jam.
Please stop.
Does anybody want to try my underwear jam? It's good on Malba toast.
So gross.
I'll have French toast with booty jam.
Booty jam.
Yeah, go to Brondell.com, guys, and get yourself a little your butt will thank us, and you'll thank us too. You'll have a brighter disposition. Things will be much more fun for you day in.
It's true. Your mood will improve if you know you have the cleanest asshole in the boardroom.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I know a lot of CEOs listen to this podcast. Let me tell you something. I know you guys are obsessed with power.
Yeah, we only advertise in the back of Forbes magazine.
Exactly.
And
we're a Power 500 podcast. But what I'm saying is nobody will be running that boardroom better than you if you know you have a cleaner asshole than every other motherfucker in that boardroom. You want to make a deal?
And speaking of a deal, if you put in the promo code no sir, you get 20% off of your entire purchase. So make sure you guys do that.
Please. For the love of God, please.
Buy a fucking bidet, you dirty asshole motherfucker.
I know. I'm sick of being the only one around with a clean ass. You know what I mean?
I know. I mean, I don't want to. I know it's like bidet privilege that I have, and I appreciate it. But, you know, you should have it too.
Right. Oh, my God. I saw a comedian the other day. He was an open micer, and he said, he was white looking, but he was Puerto Rican. Of course, he had to let us know that he's Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
So everybody has to give you their 23andMe results before they start their jokes. But he goes, I'm Puerto Rican, but I don't have the privilege of looking like a Puerto Rican. And I was like, that's a twist on privilege I haven't heard. Is it finally shifted now? Where like the privilege is not being white? Like,
you know how I know things are changing is a black guy went on stage last night and he's like, man, it's a hard time for white people. And he meant it sarcastically. And everybody was like, yeah, it kind of is. Like the audience was like, yeah, it's pretty rough, actually. Yeah.
Did he address it?
No, I don't think he got it. He was like, I mean, since the election, like, is it not hard for you? And I'm like, well, I don't know if you've heard, but it's kind of been quite the smear campaign for white people.
Was this at Potluck?
Huh? No, this was in the main room.
Oh, is this a professional?
This is a professional.
Oh, wow.
But he's a writer, a TV writer, so I think he might be out of touch with what happens. You know what happens to those poor comedy writers. They throw them in a room, and they throw a bunch of sugary snacks at them, and then they're like, write a fucking TV show or you're fired. And then that's it. And then they're like, okay. And then they just become these like...
I know. I don't understand how every TV writer isn't 9,000 pounds, because when I go hang out like at Jim Jeffries' writer's room or anywhere where I know people, I like gain 4 pounds just hanging out there in the afternoon. Especially Jim Jeffries, because his is stocked with beer.
Yeah.
Like his writer's room has 2 fridges full of beer.
Yeah, they all day drink. Yeah, it helps.
I don't know if they do. I think that's literally
I think it might just be
Jim.
Yeah.
I don't think they do, because they all have like, they have like heart, like they're kind of like fancy pants, like liberal writers. He talks about that a lot, where he's like, I thought I was liberal, but then I got into my own writer's room and I was like, Jesus. Yeah, but I got wasted twice there.
Yeah.
And then the last time I was there, I was eating all their food, eating all their snacks, and then there was a Ben and Jerry's truck giving away free ice cream in the parking lot. It's like, what the fuck is this? What does this have to do with...
I know you hate Los Angeles, but sometimes there's these tiny little perks that are just really nice.
Well, yeah. I mean, I love... We've established it on the last episode. I love green rooms.
Free stuff.
Yeah. Anywhere where... There's nothing better than enjoying the privileges of hard work without earning it.
Yeah. Just being hard work adjacent.
Yeah. A barnacle on a really nice cruise ship, you know? Not the Titanic.
Yeah, you don't want to go on a sinking one.
No. You want to go on staying afloat. Mm-hmm. Would you do a cruise? Would you be a cruise comic?
If it wasn't like a carnival or if it, like one of those Joko cruises or something like that.
What's a Joko?
It's like a nerd cruise where it's like, or actually friends of the podcast. There's another podcast that is a friend of our podcast. It's called the Tom and Dan Podcast. Which they will be a new sponsor of ours too. So be prepared to start hearing about them. They did their own cruise, a podcast.
Wow.
Did their own fucking cruise, man. And I would do with some shit like that where it was all degenerates on the boat. And
yeah,
I didn't have to be family.
Like it, cruise.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That'd be incredible.
Oh, we could have a show called, like the Rant Fest. You know what I mean? Yeah, where we just have like people like Joey Diaz and like people who are always like ranting about shit. And we could just have that, like we could have that, and then we could have like, you know, or gripe fest. We'd call it fest. If
Gripe of the sea.
Yeah. Gripe of the sea. That's awesome. And then we could you pick the comics you want, because the stigma of it being like all old hacks, like a lot of those old hacks are all dying and people are still working the ships. Like I know people who work the ships that aren't hacks at all, you know.
I think my dad went on a cruise, if I remember correctly, that like Alonzo Bowden was on.
Well, that was another thing, is George Lopez was like booking a lot of people for the cruises,
right?
And yeah, it's just, you just have to have an adult set, and you have to have a set that's chill for
family friendly.
And I think the family friendly one only has to be like 30 minutes.
Yeah. And then the other one is an hour.
Mm-hmm. And you can do whatever you want. So it's like, but the only thing that sucks is then you're straight up off the grid for 2 weeks, which seems cool. But after the first week, it gets pretty fucking boring, man. Like anytime I do the Bahamas or something like that, where it's $30 to use the internet every day or something like that. Yeah. It's like, after the first week, it's like, okay, I want to be plugged back. Can I get plugged back in, please? Like, it's.
I imagine now. I mean, when's the last time you've done the Bahamas? It's been a couple of years, right?
Yeah, it's been like 2 years.
I imagine the Wi-Fi situation is probably a little better.
I hope, but maybe not, because they want you in the casino. The resort has a huge casino. They want you out doing shit, because then they charge you for everything that you do there.
Yeah, maybe you can go into town to a cafe, or if you go into town, do they hack your head off?
Good luck getting this is a free Wi-Fi nation, baby. It's not like, it's a different country. They ain't all about the free Wi-Fi.
I don't know anything about the Bahamas. I'm not rich like you.
I'm not rich either. I got paid fucking $680 to work that stupid gig, which is still great. I'm doing it in December if anybody's going to be in the Bahamas. It's not like it used to be. It doesn't mean the same thing. Like, oh, you're working the ships. I mean, now it's just like, it sucks because you can get stuck out there in the sense that you can't work on big picture stuff as far as career goes.
For 2 weeks, who gives a shit?
But if you're making $3,000 for 2 weeks, I mean,
that's incredible.
But that's the other thing too, is like
big picture stuff. What are you doing every 2 weeks that's so important?
I mean, trying to get on television, trying to build a fan base, shit like that, you know, because that's the thing on these cruises, is they're like, oh, I saw this comedian. He was great. They have no idea who you are. They don't remember. They don't like, you're just associated with this vacation. They don't like, the comedian was great, and that was it. They don't.
Right.
You're not getting.
What if you bomb and then you're in line at the cafe? I don't know how it works, but what if you bomb?
Yeah,
and
you're still on. You're still on that fucking boat with all those people. Yeah.
Hey, that was me.
When you're there getting your lemon tart or something, and there's just a bunch of people like, oh man, that guy.
Yeah.
Had a big fat cock.
Turns out Roman Polanski raping a 13-year-old at Jack Nicholson's house isn't as funny as I thought it was. I thought that was hilarious, but I'm on a boat full of people who seem to disagree.
According to maritime law, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I must have got my charts backwards. Yeah, bombing on a boat sounds scary.
Mm-hmm.
Just having to walk back around
with
all those people. But, I mean, at least they won't talk to you.
I know.
It might even be worse if you crush.
Everybody wants to be your friend?
Yeah, all the time. I don't know.
I mean, it's probably a give and take, you know?
I would do a cruise, though. I would. I love the idea of being off the grid. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always feel better.
But a lot of times those cruises are also a little cheesy, too.
Of course they're cheesy.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
That's why I said, like, I would like to do... I mean, I have, like these low-key... I keep a silly note in my phone of, like, these low-key, like, big, ridiculous... things that I'd like to do as far as like ridiculously lofty goals. And one of them was like, I would want to have a cruise that was curated by me. You know,
sure.
I get to pick the kind of people that go on it. I get to pick the kind of people that the entertainment for it. And like that
there
would
used
be
to be this music festival. I don't know if it still happens, called All Tomorrow's Parties.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine got to curate one. And what it is, they pick like a cult musician that people like or whatever, who's like an influencer or whatever. A friend of mine got to do it. Well, not really a friend, but I'm really good friends with his bandmates. The star of the show's a little elusive, put it that way. He's the kind of guy who fell in love with Anne Frank and lost his mind.
Woo!
And you know, everybody, the thing is about falling in love with Anne Frank is, yes, she's dead. And that's crazy. But also, she was 14 when she died, dog.
And hey, come on.
Nobody ever talked about that when he lost his mind about like that. Mm-hmm. But he fell in love with Anne Frank. And everybody's like, isn't that crazy? She's been dead since the 40s, dude. And I'm like, she was also 14. Yeah. Like, loving any 14-year-old throughout history is fucking gross.
Yeah.
But anyway, he got to curate all tomorrow's parties. And so he got to pick all his favorite bands. I don't know how it worked after that. But as far as he was concerned, it was 100% up to him as long as people were available.
Sure.
And so there was no like record label deals where like you got to throw in.
You got to have this front. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. You got to have my buddy go. Yeah.
Yeah. So he got to, and that's like the dream. I think we all like think we like to think we have good taste, you know, and we all like our taste for mm-hmm. a reason. So it'd be really fun to have a cruise where you're like only comics I like
mm-hmm.
only comics I like. I mean, I did a show the other night.
And it'd be funny if we just called it Hackfest because, like, that's the stereotype of it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Where it's just like the Hackfest cruise where
boat
you have
hacks.
To go. And, yeah, boat hacks.
See, another thing, the reason why I'm like interested in the boat stuff is because open micers, because of podcasts and because of whatever, have inherited this bitterness that they haven't earned.
And, oh, you know, that's one of my biggest pet peeves.
And, like, I hear people talking about, like, I heard some open micer dude calling a dude a boat hack. And I was like, where do you get off? Calling somebody a boat. Oh, he makes a living doing
Have
comedy?
You ever even been on a cruise, you yeah. dumb motherfucker?
But it's so weird to judge people who are making a living when you're still doing comedy out of a bucket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's very strange.
That's some entitlement that I just can't really, it just doesn't even make logical sense. Like, if you're a rich kid, you have been giving a lot of stuff that a lot of people haven't. And that's where the entitlement comes from. But yeah. if you haven't done a goddamn thing at all and have no point of reference other than hearing other people talk about it, like, that's the other thing, too, is like, you're so out of touch. You're talking about how comedy was 10 years ago. You're not yeah. talking about how comedy is now. You know, I worked with like, what the fuck was his name? Al Kuntz or Al, whatever. I worked with Boat Hacks. I've featured for them. I hosted
sure, yeah,
for them.
Yeah.
I've tangibly touched those people. Yeah, those are real people. And you're making like an offhand reference about some other peer to you doing some like being a boat hack required a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that person probably had two development deals that fell through.
Yeah.
The JFL
You
89.
Fell back on the boats. The boats yeah. were the only way. It was like a saving grace for you because, you know, maybe you didn't keep writing or maybe you didn't, but it was still a way for you to still make a living being a comic.
But at some point, a lot of people saw more in that person than they saw in the people criticizing him from below. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. I get that entitlement shit all the time, but I get it with audiences.
You're entitled with you're entitled with audience, like you think you like, should have good audiences.
I'm not really one to shit on bigger comics in a real way. I like to do it for fun,
mm-hmm.
but like
sure.
I don't ever think there's no ego problem with me thinking I'm better than more successful people, but I do sometimes think I'm better than audiences.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
you
so,
don't deserve me.
Yeah, it is that bad, actually. It is. I mean, I played in a Cure cover band, so there is that.
What was the name of your Cure cover band?
The Cure. It's the most pretentious Cure cover band.
Oh
name
my
you could
god!
Ever
are
use.
You serious?
Yes. We just called it The Cure.
Wow.
We only played a couple shows, but we were really good.
Wow.
I had a guy came up to us and said, I saw The Cure and you guys were better.
Wow.
Yeah. Because Robert Smith is, you know.
On, a drunk?
Yeah, on OxyContin and shit. He's all like drooling and shit.
Although he did pull it together the last time I saw him at the Hollywood Bowl. I will say that. He like it was this
We've
is two,
about this.
Two
I
years
had
ago.
Tickets to the show and forgot.
I know. But I saw it and it was a really good show.
Yeah. I mean, I love The Cure so much. But I mean, of course, there is like the kind of person who really, really gets into The Cure enough to learn how to play all their songs is going to be a little dramatic from time to time. But I'm eating on mic, so fuck you guys. I don't like talking.
It's his anxiety cucumbers.
I'm being vulnerable. I got to eat a cucumber. But I
the minute we start talking about anything that could be slightly touching or, you know, introspective, Brian's like, I gotta shove something in my face. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, it is true though. When you like look at a crowd and you're like, you know, you're just like, fuck you guys. I don't, you don't deserve a show, which is like an insane attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But it like overwhelms me sometimes.
See, I wish I don't ever think about it like that. I always just think about, to me, it's always like, I'll show you. It's a very, I'll show you. You know, mm-hmm. mine's always been like, whether they like shitty things, you know, whether they're eating up hacky shit or whether they're being pretentious. I mean, that's why there's been so many shows in Los Angeles I've opened with me telling the audience that nobody likes them. Like, I was
where
like,
I do too.
Where I was like, you think you're being cool, but nobody, the comedians are cooler than you. We will always be cooler than you. And we think you fucking suck because you're sitting there cross-armed, making it a point not to allow joy into your own life. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a fucking idiot, too. Mm-hmm. You're dumb. Mm-hmm. You came to a place to experience joy and you're refusing to allow that experience.
And that's a skill to be able to do that. And mm-hmm. I've had that work more often than not, but not as consistently as right. I'd like it to.
Sure.
But when that goes wrong...
Oh, yeah.
That is the wrong foot to be, and you're just done. You're just done. There's no getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've explained to them that you think you're better than them
yeah.
in a way that they don't accept or think is funny, it's over.
Right.
Time to sweat.
Well, that's fine, too. And then it's also a, like, it's a way I always, the thing that, and maybe this is, because that's the problem I have with me, with you thinking, like, you're better than audiences is, I mean, it's ego, and I have a difficult time like managing ego at some point where it's like I already have it's based in fact. I already know this works. I know this works. I've done. It's not a hypothesis. I've tested that. It's a theory mm-hmm. at this point because I've tested it over and over and over again with the same results. And you're the outlier. I am not the outlier. I am consistent, and it sucks. Like. When something like that happens where it's hard for me to not get mad, where it's like, no, you're wrong.
Right.
You're wrong. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at this point, it's just, it's sometimes hard for me to not be like mad at them.
Right.
For being wrong.
Yeah.
And then, but then it could also be the way I'm saying it. I could be saying it in a way that isn't.
Because they want authority out of you. So like it's bound to work more often than not because... When you walk in and you just dress them all down, it shows that you're in control.
And I only ever really do that in Los Angeles because they're the only audience. Oh, I did it
in Brooklyn real bad.
Oh, yeah. It's been a few fantastic. Years since I've been in New York. But yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of audiences where yeah. they think they're cool. Like that's yeah. the new thing. It's like this entitlement that is like being widespread. It's not just millennials. It's just right. like these people who are entitled because they've listened. More and more people have access to comedy, so they just think they know more than they do. And because it's not based on experience, it's based on hearsay, you know?
I also think that the youth right now thinks like they're like, oh, this person's a little older. They're probably racist or they're probably like there's like this competition of being the most correct person like I've never seen before, because when I was a little kid, when I was like 9 or 10, the cultural icons were like Beavis and Butthead or Two Live Crew, and it was like who could be the most ignorant, you know?
Yeah.
And now I think everybody's like who can be the most correct and like smartest and most sensitive and most compassionate or whatever. And so I think that there is an inherent disgust with like the generation above them or whatever. So I think a lot of times when you go up in front of 21-year-olds, you're fighting all of Twitter just to right. get them to laugh.
Which seems unfair. This whole like the opposite of this whole idea of the opposite of like, you know, respect your elders and like wisdom coming from age mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And a lot of it, I think a lot of it is all based from like the school shooting stuff, like how people respond to the school shooting stuff, where people are like, well, this is an obvious problem. And older people are like, it's fine. And you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Have you been stuck in traffic 15 years into work? Because once you're in your 15th year of rush hour commute, whenever you hear about death tolls, you kind of get a little tickle. That's 5 less cars on the road.
You know? And I think
you know that one less car sticker? Oh. What if you made that for school shootings? You had like a Columbine one that said 14 less cars on the road.
Oh, man.
What was the one in Florida? The big one that just happened last year?
Parkland?
Yeah, Parkland. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that? 17? 17 less cars in the little yellow triangle sticker.
That's so horrible.
But I mean, you just really value life a lot less as you get older. You value your life more and others less. It's mm-hmm. just a natural thing.
I mean, there's no way that it's undeniable, because think about how old people talk about death.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they're like, oh, this one died. Like, I talked to my grandmother and she's like, mi amigo se murió. Like, another friend died. This one died. And
my grandfather, or my grandmother's husband, mm-hmm. he goes, I told him, he said, who else you visit in Maine? And I said, I don't really have any family that's alive in Maine. And he goes, that means you're getting older. He goes, I'm driving down the road thinking to myself, you know, oh shit, I should tell Donnie about that story. And then I realized, no, Donnie's dead. I was like, okay, good to see you. I don't know what to say after that.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just, there is a slight callousness that comes with it. And I think that's where, like, a misunderstanding from young people is, maybe it's
nobody
not
wants kids shot. I mean, we're joking.
Yeah, obviously.
Nobody wants kids shot. But I mean, I think the fact that, like, the whole world isn't lying in the middle of the road crying is confusing to these children, because they go to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the high school is very dangerous. And it is our responsibility to stop it.
Yeah.
It's not the kid's job.
Yeah.
So I get their position.
Yeah. Like,
we should be stopping this.
But it's also, they're stereotyping all of people that are older than them,
mm-hmm.
which is also ignorant.
Yeah, you're all just a bunch of Trump voting racist, sexist, me too.
Which sounds just as ignorant as you bunch of fucking cuck ass libtard.
Exactly.
It's just as dumb.
Young audiences are hard. You know what I said in Brooklyn? I was doing that Anthony Bourdain joke. It wasn't going too hot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my jokes don't make sense to you until you've watched somebody die. I was like, once you've held somebody's hand and watched the life leave their eyes, then you'd be like, oh, that Anthony Bourdain joke was pretty funny.
That's funny. Yeah. Fuck your trauma. I'm talking tragedy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Your trauma doesn't mean shit
to
my
exactly.
tragedy. Yeah.
It worked perfectly. Those are those 50-50 riffs.
Yeah.
You know?
And I just get so tired of, like, you can tell a lot of times when, you know, a lot of these young comics will wear what's wrong with them on their sleeve. Like, it's very apparent. Like, there's a lot of young female comedians that are, their jokes are directed at their fathers, you know, where it's like, mm-hmm. my dad complimented me on my tits once. And that's what their whole joke, that isn't even a joke, is just them telling that, like, isn't that fucked up? And it's like,
what's the joke though?
But it's just like, because your dad commented that you had boobs coming in. Like, that's what
it's a decent life you got there.
That's how bad it was.
The fact that you can start that sentence with "my dad once said" is better than 70% of black children. Or 60. I mean,
stats, but you know the story. Everybody's familiar with the story.
It's high up there.
A lot
of people would love to have a story that started out with "my dad once said to me."
Yeah. Where it's like, your dad said something to you? Nice.
He looked at you, acknowledged your existence? That's better than most people. Pudding. You squeeze her nipple.
Now get on out there and try harder. You smack her on the ass.
Oh man. Good one, Puddin. I called a girl darling at a show recently.
Oh man, that's
it was with all intent to ruin her day. That was 100% my intent. I was like, this looks like a girl who will write a fucking story about me
mm-hmm.
for calling her darling. I was like, I'm gonna give her what she wants, even though she knows she feels like she doesn't want this.
I gotta stop
me, and I go, darling, calm down.
Oh, and you told a woman to calm down,
darling.
Oh man,
calm
if
down.
You ever wanted to make a woman upset, tell her to calm down. That is,
darling. Calm down.
That's a crazy lady kryptonite right there.
You know what's
there.
Funny is I didn't even look at
that's
her.
That's a big old shiny red button.
I stuck out my hand like a crossing guard blocking traffic. I didn't even look at her. I was looking forward, stuck my hand to the right, and go, darling, calm down. And then went right back to my joke. It felt wonderful. It felt fucking good. And she was mad that I was insulting Elon Musk. So she can go fuck herself.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, poor Elon Musk.
I know, poor billionaire. I go, darling, calm down. And then I was like,
that's another thing that I don't understand. If they want you to punch up, why are they getting sensitive about people that are above you?
They don't care where you're punching. They don't. They just like, when they say you should be punching up, they just mean don't punch anything I care about.
Right.
Like, yeah. I could walk up and just be like, I wish all straight white men were burned. Like, I wish we had a second Holocaust, but it was just straight white men. And then like certain crowds, yeah, would carry me out on their shoulders. They don't give a fuck. Even though a lot of straight white men are fucking have no money and are like addicted to meth and live in trailers and get arrested and beat by the cops. Doesn't matter. They're privileged.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are. It's like, have you ever been to Ohio? Like, you're talking to me about white privilege. Have you ever been to Iowa? Like, go to Maine, where it's 98% white.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's 98% white, yet people are still getting pulled over somehow, magically. They still get pulled over.
Right.
You know, people still go to jail. They have jails
and
there.
And that's not to say, like, systemic racism isn't real and all that stuff, but it's...
It's just crazy to think that just because of the color of your skin, you're automatically a industrial banker,
right,
or whatever. You
right.
Know? Like, is that
it's
a job?
Just as ignorant as assuming, like, job. Yeah, it's just as assuming as ignorant as assuming all black people are XYZ. You know what I mean? It's
oh, you're
just
black. Dumb. How many times have you been beat by the cops? Mm-hmm. Did you not know your dad? Have you been to jail?
Yeah.
Somebody addicted to crack? Can you imagine just bombarding a black? I mean, I would do that to a comic, but I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But like, Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's so funny because I was talking about that in New England where I was like, yeah, dude, like, you know, everybody's always telling me about white privilege, but I'm like, how could I have a privilege being white when I'm from a place that's 98% white? Like, I don't know how, like, if yeah. that's everything,
mm-hmm.
then where's the privilege?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't even know where that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I also lived in the same state as the Bushes.
Like, yeah.
They had the privilege.
Yeah, it's a lot of it. It's just white gets thrown in when we're talking about classism, just because it's easier, and specifically in comedy more so, because it's like it's almost they found somebody to beat up on, so everybody's bandwagon beating up on it. You know?
Yeah, because nobody's creative. Just like when, nobody wants to write. Nobody wants to have a unique perspective. So whatever the flow of the day is, people are just going
to
go with it.
Well, just like it used to be fun, like making fun of like the disabled or something like that. That used to be way more accepted. And so many people used to jump on that bandwagon and it was fine before people were getting offended by it. And then it was like, so it was bandwagon-y when everybody used to do a shitty Chinese impression or, you know what I mean? But what I mean is like, there were just these fads of like things that was okay to make fun of. And anything outside of that, it was like, oh, come on, that's fucked up. But, you know, but as long as it's in this narrative, it's like, you know, either you don't make fun of anything or we can make fun of everything.
Dude, have you been watching, this is on topic. Have you been watching Who is America?
Mm-mm.
Do you know what it is?
Mm-mm.
Sacha Baron Cohen's new show.
Oh, shit. I did. I forgot that's what it's called. Yeah, I've watched some of it. I haven't watched...
I've watched all four episodes. By the way, it's the coolest thing I've seen in years. Incredible. It's incredible. Kurt Metzger is one of the head writers on it.
That's awesome.
But and Nathan Fielder. Nathan Fielder from Nathan For You.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Fielder and Sacha Baron Cohen together is dangerous. Like, for them. For themselves.
Yeah.
Like, because they're so pushing as far as possible that...
It's pretty impressive. It's impressive the things that they've been able to accomplish. It's impressive to just to see... To be able to see... another side of it, like how everybody just blanketly makes statements, and then for you to be able to see the insanity that is what they're trying to show you.
Well, also, but then one of the things that has been cracking me up about it is that you can, if you Google it and you read about what people are saying about it, they love when he takes down Roy Moore. They love when he takes down Dick Cheney. But then when he does the white guilt character.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they freak
I think that's
out.
So great.
They cannot take a joke. The left cannot take a joke. There's so many articles written about how he fooled He fooled some woman like into looking really dumb in an art gallery. Mm-hmm. It's the only woman that is a subject to the prank so far. The rest have been all men. And they were just like, this isn't funny at all. I wish I could remember the names of the
articles. It is funny. It is funny. You're just incapable of laughing at yourself.
Oh, or it's incapable, so pathetic,
incapable of realizing that there is too far the other way, you know? Because it is.
The little intros mm-hmm. To the white guilt guy on the bike who wears the NPR shirt. And he's mm-hmm. like changed his name to Nojitello, whatever that songwriter's last name is. And he always says this little things like, my name is blah, 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 Nojitello or whatever. I don't remember the name, but he goes, and I think that testosterone, or I think the most dangerous chemical weapon on earth is testosterone. Or I'm a self-hating cis white straight man or whatever. And it's just people are getting so upset about that character. It's like, do you not see what you're doing here? Like, you love the Roy Moore shit, but when he makes fun of you, you freak out. You're exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's
just as ignorant. That's my whole point. It's just as ignorant. It's so dumb.
And like, I saw.
If you guys haven't seen it, you guys should watch the Sacha Baron Cohen thing. It's fucking funny, man.
Yeah. Oh my God. There was the one where they made the guy, Spencer, pull his pants down and scream the N-word. and then he like bit off a hot dog that was a fake terrorist dick. And he had to resign, but Jim Norton.
It's so funny, man.
Jim Norton sent out the funniest tweet after that where he goes, everybody's getting mad at Spencer, but let those who have never screamed the N-word with their pants around their ankles while biting off a hot dog dick cast no stones or whatever. It was so fucking funny. But yeah, it's so great to see something push it right now because everything's so goddamn soft and boring and bland. And
it's just easy to be edgy now. I mean, if you push anybody at all, it's just like, oh my God, like I'm just tired of gasping. Can we stop with the gasping?
Yeah, really? You're a fucking adult. Unclench your breast, you dumb bitch.
You're not even wearing pearls.
I know. I'm so sick of being people telling me like, man, you're really pushing it. Like, cause like, I don't think I am. I don't think I'm up there trying to push buttons. I'm just writing the jokes that I write. Mm-hmm. And it's so annoying to me, especially when comics who I know are really bad people in their personal life come up to me and tell me like, man, I don't know how you get away with that joke. Or like, I don't know. You're never going to be able to do that joke on blah, blah, blah.
We talked about it on the last episode.
No, we didn't. It was on the list. We didn't talk about it.
Oh, we didn't?
No. Mm-hmm. And it's just so frustrating for people it's like, really, you're calling me edgy while you're going home and raping all night? You know what I mean? Like, it's just the most evil I am is on stage because that's where I get it out in joke form. But
it's like it's on stage is your it's the same thing as like playing Grand Theft Auto and killing a hooker and stealing your money back. You just talk about awful things. You mm-hmm. don't do awful things.
It's the Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby thing.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Pryor.
He still did some horrible shit.
No, but what I was going to say, though, if you found out he did those horrible shits that he was doing while he was clean the whole time on stage, you'd be like, he's a monster. Lock him up.
Yeah.
But because he's like, hey, I do all this stuff. People are like, you can't bust him.
Yeah.
You can't bust the shit that's right in front of your face. Then you find out Bill.
But that I don't think you can do that anymore. The way things are now, I don't think that you can. You don't get that kind of liberty. I think if, say, somebody's edgy, say somebody like Jim Jeffries, if a thing came out about him, it would still be the same amount of outrage. It wouldn't be like, oh, okay. I mean, it's Jim. Come on.
I don't know, though. He did tell that one story at the end of his special.
The Coke thing?
Yeah.
The Coke story, yeah.
And like people like Megan Keister and other annoying fake comics,
and it was, but
and were like retweeting it and trying mm-hmm. to say things about it, and it gathered no steam because they were quoting a fucking special. They were trying to expose him by using him.
Yeah,
and it's like, where are you going with that?
By using a thing that he said.
He has
on
that
purpose.
Joke where this girl says, "I have a picture of you doing cocaine." He goes, "A lot of people have
pictures of me doing."
He's like, "I've done coke off of pictures of me doing coke." Like you can't get him. And then he did it. That's a bit he does.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can't. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the Louis thing is kind of weird because he did tell you pretty much he stopped short of just saying he did that stuff with his material. Like you watch his material, you know, he's a creep.
And that episode of Louis where he corners Pamela and tries to get her to fuck him, and she has to like push him off of him and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, she says you can't even rape good, Lou. It's such a funny line. But yeah, so I guess that's him being like pretty fucking as close to open about it as you can be, and still somehow people are like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I say rape on stage for the first time ever in a joke now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it's funny because...
which is funny. I hear a lot of chicks talking about rape on stage.
Yeah. I say the word, and it's the last word I haven't said on stage yet. Said what? All the other ones. What? Anyone you can think of, I've said it on stage. I am not kidding. Yes, that word. I've said it on stage. I have.
Even the one you're thinking. Yep. Yeah,
on public access television in Berkeley, California, I said the word. I like the bit so much, and I have fun doing it, that I say it with this casualness that I think if I had said it earlier, I would have put a lot of weight behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that makes a big difference. I think that's why young comics trying to do dark material is so insufferable, because they don't know how to talk.
Yeah.
Yet the way you say something, it's
everything.
The same idea. If you think about it like this, if you ever... There's a ton of different telemarketers out there, and they all have the same fucking script. But some people say that script and make it sound way better than a lot of these other people. So there's so much to it. What's that great Eddie Izzard bit? It's like, what, like 10% of what you say, and then it's mostly how you say it and how you look when you say it.
Anyway.
I do miss, like, I don't want the objectification, but I do miss the objectification jokes.
What do you mean?
Like, talking about pussy like a commodity, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's still funny. A lot of people are still doing that.
I don't want the 40-year-old virgin
where they're like, you're putting the pussy on a pedestal.
Yeah, like I don't want it to be a commodity, but like
there's nothing funnier to me than when black comics talk about pussy.
It's always like black comics.
When it's separated
and it's
from
my
the
favorite
body.
It's my favorite when black comics talk about it.
Yeah, there's one comic who's like, you know, sometimes I'd be sneaking in the girl's bathroom to see if anybody left a pussy in there. Like, that shit is so funny to me.
I wish I didn't like it so much, but I
why?
Do.
Why? What's wrong? It's hilarious. It's cartoonish.
I guess that's what it why. It's because it's cartoonish.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's so funny. There's no reason to wish you didn't like it. It's hilarious.
Because like, I don't like the idea. I mean, like, I do want us to be the same. But
it can be
at the
both.
Same time, though, it is all it really is to me is commentary on how obsessed you guys are about pussy, like about sex, about like cum, about coming, about all of that stuff. That's all of that stuff is like whether they don't treat women like that or not, it doesn't matter. But the fact that you have all those thoughts is still really funny, because we don't think about dick that way. Dick is like, if we lived in a store that only sold dick. And it was just, so at some point you'd be like, yeah, it's dick, whatever. It's fine. It's always there. It's a constant.
Yeah.
It's how rich, successful men feel about pussy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Your view changes. Once you're surrounded by it constantly, it's just like, ugh, whatever.
That's why they always go to kids. It is. I really believe that.
What?
Because it's the last thing they can't have. It's the most elusive thing.
Like the equivalent of like hunting a lion or something
like
that.
Or a human.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it's a disease, that being an elite. But not to go down Alex Jones road.
Or the guy from Jimmy Jones like fucking a shark or something.
Is that true?
He was like posed naked like... with his arms and legs around this big ass fucking shark. It's
so not go against the grain. He's going to rip his dick up.
It might have been a whale or something.
Shark
I don't remember.
Skin's rough. That's my outrage.
Dude, you better watch your dick if you're hungry. You get that can't dick be dry humping a shark.
Dude, that's like rubbing your dick on a cheese grater. That's fucked up, dude. Go fuck a dolphin like a normal man. Yeah, no, pussy being off the body is hilarious to me.
I mean, I even Wanda Sykes used to do that. I mean, I feel like we've talked about this before, but the idea of a pussy being its own entity is always funny to me.
It's hilarious. Looking in the bathroom for some leftover pussy, see if somebody left a pussy behind. It makes me think of some shit like... in a cartoon when like Roadrunner and Coyote where they would draw like a door
Or a perfect example is like when you shoot Donald Duck and his mouth completely comes off. It's, you know what I mean?
And
it's
it keeps the same talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah, our body parts being separated from our body is funny.
Yeah, the Sam Kinison, can I take my dick, honey? All the other guys are taking theirs.
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so funny. But people are so goddamn, everybody wants to be right. It's so
everybody
frustrating.
Everybody wants some.
And that's why I think the word retard is coming back so hard, is because everybody wants to be right so bad that it's making comedians want to be as retarded as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is. Like, it's that, like, pushback, you know, where you see so many comics just writing the dumbest jokes they possibly can because they're like, I mean, I have a joke about dinosaurs being dead for 1,000 years now. And like that, like it fits.
Did you really, have you really started doing a joke about the rhinosaur? The rhinosaur?
I have.
You heard it here, folks. This podcast is making material.
But yeah, I just like everybody wants to be as retarded as possible, I think, with the younger comics because they're so sick of people trying to be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the world's so evil and fucked up right now that like commenting on it, it's like, well, we don't want to be in the world right now.
I don't know, though, because I feel like a lot of my bits is I'm trying to convince you that I'm right. And
me but too. I'm not like that as much. Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely have a lot of like opinion. I'm an adult, though.
Yeah.
And you're an adult.
Yeah.
But I mean, the kids, those young kids are trying to be as retarded as possible. And it's very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. But you, yeah, you'll hear some of the dumbest jokes in the world right now. And I think it's actually people being reactionary to the culture. And I'm really, I mean, right now, I think the biggest influence I see with like younger white comics is Norm MacDonald. Like, I feel like Norm is one of those guys who tells the dumbest fucking jokes on earth.
Yeah.
And they're hilarious.
It's hilarious because you're like, there's no way this man is this stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you ever seen a gay guy and how he has sex with another gay guy? What they'll do is one guy will bend over and another guy will put his cock in the guy's ass. Have you seen this? It's gay sex. And you're just like, what are you doing right now, Norm? It's beautiful. And I think that's just like what people want to hear, right? Or at least that's what people want to write. Because it's like, I mean, I feel it too. Like, I want to be a little light, more lighthearted than I am right now. It's just I don't have that kind of brain. But it's like, it's just like trying, like, oh, you found hypocrisy. Good for you. What a genius. You found hypocrisy in a country that's being run by a reality TV star. Aren't you a fucking genius? Look at you, Bill Hicks.
Right.
You know, like there's so much hypocrisy right now. That used to be a lot of what comedy was pointing out a lot of the hypocrisies. But now it's just like nothing makes sense
anymore. But now pointing out hypocrisy is just such a badge. That it's not funny anymore. It used to be like, you fucking notice this shit? This thing doesn't make fun of it. And you would point out like things that were illogical. Like that was the whole point, is you could see how things should be, like thinking about things linearly. And then you're like, oh, you notice a hiccup and you show people, look at this hiccup.
Yeah.
That you guys hadn't noticed. And I still really like that. I still like that way of thinking makes me feel good.
Yeah. It makes you feel sane.
Yeah. And then,
but it's tough right now to be like that on stage because it's like, no shit. We live in a world where children got massacred at a school and immediately gun sales went up the next day across the country. Like when you live in a world like that, pointing out hypocrisy isn't that hard.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take like somebody who's like sitting on top of a hill, like thinking, taking a lot, like, you know, Dave Chappelle always sells himself. I love Dave Chappelle's comedy. I hate his fucking branding that he's chosen. Like him sitting on a chess bench in a park smoking a cigarette being like, a comic needs time to think. It's like, go fuck yourself, dude. Yeah, I love Chappelle and I hang on every word. He's one of the few comics I hang on every word when he's on stage when I watch him.
I did too. And he actually, it wasn't bad. It's not bad when he's doing material and he's like working and riffing and all that stuff. But when it's just when he's too hammered.
He gets so far up his own ass too.
When that's what he talks, you know, he'll give these. Sometimes it's pretty insightful, the things he has to say, and then sometimes it's like, I'm the greatest, and it's like, well, yeah, we're here, we're listening, we're on board. You don't have to convince us.
It's also like, where does being the greatest get you? It got made fucking Ali all shaky. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, yeah, who gives a shit?
You're gonna give yourself Parkinson's
era, Ali. Yeah, Chappelle, you keep talking like that, you're just going to be shaking in a corner somewhere. Like, fucking stay relevant, dog. I love you. You're so funny. But, man, god damn, stop with the fucking wisdom. Jesus Christ. You're not that smart. You wouldn't be a comedian if you were that smart. You'd be an author. You'd be, like, a professor.
I don't know that. I don't know about that. I think there's plenty of really smart comedians.
They're because, really smart because this is a scam. Comedians.
No, this is it's a scam.
Geniuses want it. Don't want scams. That's not what geniuses want.
If you, how do you not, as a smart person, take this?
Smart is different from genius. There are every successful comic is smart. Except for Carlos Mencia, because he stole everything. And if you listen to interviews with him, he's dumber than a brick.
Mm-hmm.
But like, other than him, pretty much you can't be dumb and a very successful comedian. That's why Rich Voss never popped. Rich Voss is hilarious, but he's an idiot. You know, so he couldn't ever break through to the other side. All successful comedians are smart. And but not fucking not what the way Chappelle sells himself. Nobody's like he's like he acts like some fuck like Leonardo should come down and make a sculpture of his ass and like put it in every town center. And it's like, all right, dude, mostly pussy jokes throughout the career. Mostly pussy jokes. Okay. Like, take it down a notch. Like, I mean, I'm not talking down on his comedy. It's everything else. His comedy is as good as it can be. Mm-hmm. But Jesus, dude, I don't want to sit there and watch you sit on a fucking chessboard park bench in D.C. and have to act like I'm looking at fucking God.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. You're not even as good as Bill Burr.
Ooh. Man, you are making some controversial statements.
I really don't think so. I really don't. I think Bill Burr doesn't get enough credit for being the greatest comic that's alive right now.
I like...
It doesn't matter, though. You don't have to compare him. Nobody has to be the best. That's just like a fan way of thinking.
I think that's just a dude way of thinking.
It is.
Guys are always doing that shit.
We rank shit.
Why?
It's just a nice way to understand the world. It's an organization. Makes you feel centered.
Maybe it's not just a guy thing. Because my grandmother always used to ask me which grandmother was my favorite. And I was always like, yo, why are you asking me to compare the two of you? Like,
yeah.
I love you both.
Well, that's different. That's manipulative and competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like...
Yeah, like the women are competitive, but when you're just... You guys... I mean, that's the same... It's why guys like sports. It's all math. It's all fucking rankings and ratios. And well, this guy, he's got this kind of range. And then you like... You guys compare...
It makes sense of the world, man. You walk around, you're like, I'm 33 years old. I have nothing going on in my life. I'm shit. I don't understand how to not be shit, but I do understand the rules to football, and that fucking makes sense. So you sit down and you watch football, and you have 3 hours of something that has rules that you can understand, and things happen that make sense, and you're like, there, all right. I'm upset my team lost, but it was because they had less points. It wasn't because of something I don't fucking understand. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
It's just nice to sit down and understand something because everything else is so goddamn confusing and chaotic.
Maybe we're just more comfortable with that as far as women.
Yeah, because you usually have a guy coming home and bringing home all the money and feeding you and all that stuff.
Easy.
I'm saying historically, I'm not saying now,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying if because of patriarchy, a bad side effect for men is that for years they were looked as the provider. And when you have the pressure of providing, you're subject to all that chaos that is the world more than if you're not trying to earn. And so...
Yeah, but you're talking like shit has been different for a long time. This isn't the 50s.
Yeah, now girls are in sports. Now all of a sudden you got girls on the sidelines reporting football.
And into video girls games and stuff like that and participating
they're
more.
They're starting to need some fucking sense too. Girls are more involved in sports than they've ever been.
Right. It's also just because we're now allowed to be part of fucking sports. Because there was a lot of, for years and years, it was like, oh, honey, you don't understand. It was a lot of that bullshit,
I'll tell you one sexist thing I have I mean, I have a few things, but one that I definitely for sure have is I don't like female sportscasters. I really don't. I don't know what it is. I will take the like Shushan lesbian sounding one, the ones who say the rest is like this and kind of sound a little bit like a guy. Like I'm
you like a low octave broad yeah, to just, talk to yeah, you about
yeah yeah yeah. A girl who looks like she shops at like REI for all her clothes and wears like hiking boots all the time, like to a wedding. She's wearing like hiking boots.
Right.
I'm down with that. But like it is, and I, it's something I just, we, I mean, the only way we'll fix it is if we get more of them and it, I just have to get used to it. But every, but it's jarring now because there's only a few of them. And every now and then, like you'll be like, oh, fuck, she's got the Red Sox this week. God damn it. I gotta listen to her. I don't know what it is. But yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of ladies in the sports booth. But I think, I do think the only solution is more of them or none of them. Because it's fucking unsettling
to just have some.
Yeah.
You don't like it in the middle?
It's not in the middle. It's like way on one side. It's like 20%. I don't know. I know it's not cool to admit those feelings right now. You're supposed to pretend that you're like the most right, perfect person.
I appreciate the honesty.
But it's true.
Because then, like, if you don't know what the thing is, if you can't like recognize what the thing is, it's not something you can work on, and you're even willing to work on it. Put more chicks in my face so I can get used to them talking about this stuff, because it's also been your whole life of just dudes talking to you.
Yeah,
about
but it's also like I know for a fact you didn't play high school football, like, or junior high football, because you would have gotten slaughtered, you know. And so unless you were a kicker, but so it's also like part of me is kind of like, what do you really know about football? Like, you've never been hit by a linebacker like coming across the middle. You know what I mean? Like, even if it was in seventh grade, you haven't experienced that or whatever.
But there's plenty of dude broadcasters that weren't
they in, probably at least played in high school.
I think there's some sportscasters that don't know a fuck all about sports. I mean, they over the course of ESPN's history, they have gotten more and more. And it's just because it's like a new place for guys to go retire to. You could go retire and talk about the thing that you did your whole life.
Usually there is the one, there's the color commentator, and then there's the play-by-play. And the play-by-play is usually some nerd who's never done anything. Meek little Marv Albert, Joe Buck type guy.
In the SNL comparison, it's like the Harvard geeks and then the like UCB freaks, like that combination.
What do you mean?
Like, they always have like half of the SNL writers are like Harvard
also
graduates.
Also, you could say the Harvard geek for the play-by-play, and then
you—that's what
the,
I mean.
The meathead jock, the retired player.
Yeah,
I love the retired players though. Doing Tony Romo's fantastic, but I don't know. It's something, and it's just like, I mean, it's also like how I have a hard time with Michelle Wolf. I think Michelle Wolf is hilarious. Sometimes her voice just—I don't know. I don't know if it's a guy thing.
Oh, she does have a pretty shrill voice.
Michelle Wolf's voice like is like a cheese grater on my ear. Even though I like what you're saying. I think it's hilarious. I think she's very funny. But like, and I think the same thing happens with the sports announcers too, where it's just like, it's just a little too high pitched for me. It's just a tonal thing.
There are some voices that I just can't listen to for extended amount of time.
Lower voices are better for the long run.
What do you mean for the long run?
Like a 3-hour football game.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love Clayton English to be an announcer.
Oh my God, he's so smooth.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think for a long
time. He's like a mocha frappuccino voice.
He's got a beautiful, silky, smooth, fucking deep.
If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to the Clayton English episode. Steak on your mountain.
Yeah, he's fucking hilarious. But yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time with ladies in the booth. I have a hard time with some ladies on stage. Your voice doesn't bother me though.
I have a lower octave voice though.
Yeah, the only time it bothers me is when you're right walking on stage.
It's
gotta
get way high pitch.
Yeah, when you're just walking on stage.
Thank you.
I don't sound
clap
like that.
It up!
That is not
clap
an accurate.
It up!
Oh, stop it! That is not an accurate. That's not what I sound like.
Hi guys, how
I don't
are
sound
you?
Like that. Cut it out.
There he is.
That's not how I sound.
And then it goes into the regular voice, and it's very funny.
And then I can listen to
you. Yeah. Why is this woman yelling at me?
Oh, there's Carmen.
I do think that sometimes one of the biggest things that people use as a crutch early on in comedy is that screaming is a punchline.
Oh yeah, it's easy to yell at everybody.
Not I even think it's just yelling at everybody, but even do an act out that involves yelling. Like, it's like, I don't know if this will make sense to the listeners, but it'll make sense to you. Imagine J.C. Carias with no jokes. Like, that's what you see a lot. Just like the end of every joke, it just involves screaming.
Yeah, you just say it louder than the first part of the sentence.
Yeah. I don't know. I just said at a show the other day, I was like, man, I feel like every one of these dudes has yelled at me. People forget that when they're trying to do comedy, that it's tonal.
It just goes back to what we were just talking about how you sound, how you say things. Let's do the gripe of the week.
It's the grab of the week.
It's the grab of the week. Brian didn't make a song for us this week because he's a jerk. So we went a cappella today. Gripe of the week from Phil Merrill is people who ask you a question and before you can finish your answer, they start speaking.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to hear you, Phil. They just want to bounce their idea off you.
What do you think about that? Yeah, I think I will. You know, they already have an answer. They just wanted you to say the same answer as them so then they can tell you about the thing.
They're called leading questions. And you better go where they lead you. Or you'll be alone.
Or you'll be run over by the right answer to them, according to them.
Yeah, nobody listens anymore, man. What are you looking
People for? Aren't even listening to this podcast. They have it on. Sure. Yeah. And then maybe there might be a few minutes where you too, but everybody
wake up.
Everybody absolutely zones out without question.
Yeah. I mean, how about this? What would you rather have? Because I don't like either of these. I agree with you, Phil. Philly? What's his name?
Phil.
I agree with you, Philly. I think that people do this a lot where they plow over you with the answer to the question. But how about this? Somebody asks you a question and you answer it and they immediately look at their phone right when you start talking. Which one's worse?
I think I'd rather be cut off.
I'd rather be cut off, too.
Because at least you're looking at my eyes. Yeah. Yeah,
they're present.
You're looking at my eyes and being a dick. You're not like passively being a dick. He's got another one. Phil Merrill's other gripe of the week is people who say sorry when they are close to you and almost run into you. It should be excuse me. I mean, sorry, really, for what? Oh, you're just being mad about word choice.
Yeah, semantics. I understand, though.
I think it's a younger person thing. I say sorry all the time.
I always say, that's what I do. I smell the neck.
What the fuck?
I almost run into somebody and then I smell their neck real quick. And then I go,
thank you. I don't say excuse me. I say thank you.
I go, is that VO5?
Sue Keener's gripe of the week is a chick spent 15 minutes telling her kids to behave and sing quietly while on public transit. She told them they must be considerate of others. Yay, mom. But when the kids quiet down, she sings for 10 minutes. What the fuck? Be an example. Be consistent. Practice what you preach.
She sings on the bus?
Yeah, she yelled at her kids for singing loudly, and then she sang loudly. You don't do it. Only mommy gets to do it.
That's not right.
That's the whole do as I say, not as I do bullshit.
Yeah, but also and just singing on the bus as an adult. Like, I get that with drinking. Like, you don't want your kids to drink, but you drink. Do as I say, not as I do.
Sure.
You know, fucking your wife. Like, you don't want the kids to fuck their mom. Do as I say, not as I
do. Okay. I think that example was unnecessary, but yeah, you can.
But like, singing on the bus is just a freak show. That's obnoxious. That's annoying. The bus driver should have pulled the bus over and throw them all off.
They don't deserve to be on the bus.
I hate loud people on the bus so much. Yeah, if you ever feel like you...
What?
I was just going to say, like, I hate people who pretend they have never, like, said a racial slur in their head. And it's like, go on the bus. Go on the bus. But that's why they've never had that.
They've never been on a bus. Yeah. They've never had to take a fucking Greyhound to wherever the fuck and there's a dude with plastic bags for shoes that's, you know, playing music loudly, even though right next to a sign that says please don't play your wear it on headphones, mm-hmm. and just screaming at the top of their lungs. You know what I mean?
Like, you think bad things. It doesn't mean you believe bad things.
No,
it's just like that's where your mind goes.
It's just like you've never said something that you regret in an argument. A Kermit L. Gonzalez, his gripe of the week is parades. He hates parades, and it's because of his height. He's not a very tall man.
What is there to see at a parade?
And it's a big fucking floaty thing. You could see that anyways.
Yeah, what are you missing? The color guard? Who cares? Are they throwing candy and you're missing out on the candy? Is that what you're upset about? Like, who goes to parades? I don't understand that. Like, I always think when they're advertising the Rose Bowl parade, because I live near Pasadena, I'm always like, oh, good. Thanks for the sign. I know to be nowhere near here this day. That's like, I think of it as a warning shot. Who the fuck is going to parades? What do you want to see? A high school marching band? That sounds awful. I wish.
Or a bunch of adoptable animals.
Every parade I've ever been to made me wish I was your height, Kermit.
I get it for concerts. I've only ever seen them on the. Oh, that's true. As a short person at a concert, it sucks. You can see so much.
I know. I have. I try really hard to stand against a wall. Always.
And then my whole thing is, what I can't stand is if there's a tall person in front of you, if they try to get salty about you standing in front of them, where it's like, I can see better and you can still see. Like, you're just one person further away. They're not going to touch you. Uh-huh. You're not going to make a connection with that person who's still, you know, 100 feet away.
Yeah, whoever's standing right there is going to be my new best friend and we're going to travel the world together.
You fucking ignorant.
And it's this short lady right here. Oh, too bad you weren't the guy behind the short lady. You'd be my best friend now, but you're not.
But now the short lady is. Yeah. She wins. Like, what the fuck do you think is happening?
Yeah, I'm going to a concert on Friday. First time I've been to a concert, in a long time.
That's not true. You just went to a concert in Fenway fucking Park, and we talked about it on the last episode.
I don't consider that me going to a concert. That, there was a concert happening where I went.
Okay.
I was at Fenway Park whilst a concert was happening. But like, I always go to shows, you know, and there's a distinct difference in my mind between a show and a concert. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to a concert, and you know what my new thing is? This is what I want to do. I want to do comedy on a open-minded young country act. Like a lefty country guy.
Okay.
Because I, in my
mind... Like the well-read comedy tour, but as a country band? Like a band?
Well, no, I want to open for a country artist. Like, uh-huh. There's like a list of country artists I would like to open for, because in
like Sturgill Simpson or something like that?
Sure. I was thinking Paul Cawthon, who's the guy I'm going to see. He's a little bit smaller than Sturgill.
Okay.
So he's doing like 250, 300 seaters. Well, standers. Mm-hmm. But I, in my mind, I've built up his fan base as the perfect comedy audience. Because they take acid, they're open-minded, they like country, so they're not going to be PC and very sensitive.
Right.
But they're not going to be a bunch of ignorant, racist idiots.
Yeah.
It seems like the perfect crowd, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if it's what you say it is, yeah, that sounds pretty right. Yeah,
I've invented this in my mind. I know Joey Diaz has been opening for Wheeler Walker, which is different, though, because Wheeler Walker's comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't know. And also it just reminds me of like Richard Pryor touring Gladys Knight and like all the 70s comics, like opening for musicians and shit.
Yeah.
And like, I like that package a lot. I think it serves both well.
Mm-hmm.
It also seems like it could be hell, but hell in a way where you just come out stronger, you know? Like,
okay. Yeah, yeah, sure.
So it seems like it'd be a good growing opportunity. And also like I don't know. In my mind, this is like the new
thing. A lot of comics that I knew that opened for bands like always had really good chops.
Yeah, Big J did that forever.
Yeah.
New metal bands.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine a worse crowd to go up in front of. New metal fans.
Yeah.
It explains his act. Yeah. You know, it's funny. We were joking about how he actually, all his gloves are full gloves, but he does so much coke that he ends up just eating the fingertips off all his gloves. Like, these were supposed to be regular gloves.
They're not fingerless. They're not off.
I have no idea if he does coke, but I'm just, that's not the thing. That's not, I could have just said he's so nervous. I don't want to throw out these like weird baseless coke accusations.
Gripe of the week from Aaron Murphy is people who go on vacation to Nolens in the summer and then complain incessantly because it's hot. Quote, well, we didn't know it was going to be this hot. Dude, there's this thing called Google. Use it. Like, why did you think your tickets were so cheap? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, I never understood that. Or like when people come, anytime people go to the desert, like in Vegas, I was just in Vegas a few weeks ago. There was people that were just like, and it's like, you're in the desert in the summer.
People are dumb.
That's why the money is cheap. If there's anyone listening to this podcast, if there's ever a super sweet deal on you going to a place, it's because nobody fucking goes to that place at that time.
New Orleans in the summer is one of the most brutal things you'll ever experience because for some unknown reason to me, there's no fucking air conditioning there. So many, at least in the world I traveled in New Orleans in, nobody had air conditioning. They say in Georgia, like you'll read the humidity and they'll say it's 100% humidity in Georgia. And you're like, well, if this is 100%, what the fuck is going on in New Orleans? 150%?
Like, yeah.
It's insane. The humidity is so brutal.
That swamp, all it is just ass sweat, dude. That's ass sweat from the entire city. That's what those. That's what. That's what you're noodling out of.
Pontchartrain is Native American for ass sweat. Yeah, it's Lake Charles, same thing. It's it's fucking brutal. And yeah, people going to New Orleans.
Yeah, you're noodling those catfish out of Famunda cheese.
People talk about how violent New Orleans is, but I imagine that you could put the calmest, most reserved people in the world there by August, they're going to be shooting motherfuckers. It's just too fucking hot and humid. The humidity is unreal. You are soaking wet.
Like the wet and dry heat, like everybody's always comparing those. Like the dry heat is nice, but at least the wet heat lets you know, you know exactly how hot it is.
Yeah.
And the dry heat, sometimes it's just hot and then you just die. You know, yeah. Look at those mountains, dead. But at least the ass sweat's like, I need to find something colder. You know, I need to seek colder climate. Like my body's telling me.
In New Orleans, you get the sweet relief of winter and then all of the hobo junkies flood your town.
Do they come in seasonally?
Yes, 100%. Really? Yeah. They go to like Minneapolis for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come down the river, both literally and figuratively. And they fucking winter in New Orleans. There are snowbird junkies. And they go to, yeah, they're like.
That's the funniest thing.
They're dope birds.
Dope birds. Yeah, they're dope birds. Awesome.
Yeah, they go from Minneapolis.
That's the t-shirt you should sell, is a fucking crackhead looking bird.
Yeah. Some dude in like full in vacation clothing, yeah, knotted out on
just
a
junkie
gutter.
in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, you'll notice the influx. It's like how in right around now
he's wearing a fanny pack, but it has his junkie kid in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's not even a joke. That's just what it is. And then it's like how right now to next month, all the trimmigrants go up to Humboldt to trim weed.
Mm-hmm.
And come November, all the junkies, hobo junkies go down to New Orleans to shoot up there for the winter. Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, guys, would you come see a tour of us called Two Cunts in a Cocktail?
We're going to go do this run together and we can't figure out a name.
We're doing a No Sir, I Don't Like It tour, but that's not the name we need.
It's got to be a gimmickier, dumber name in order for people to come out.
Two Cunts in a Cocktail. I love it.
I came up with it. I think it's really rad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's two cunts is a hard sell. You think one cunt's a hard sell? Try selling two. Troy Gorda.
Gorda.
Gorda. Troy Gorda's gripe of the week is people that ask what toppings are available when they're ordering a pizza, especially on the phone. Man, I just had a spick sniper. Did you hear that? Pizza?
Yep. Pizza.
That's how my dad says pizza. Or my grandmother says pizza.
Jesus Christ, give me a pizza.
Cheese and rice. Give me some pizzas. Tu quieres pizza? That's how I know things have changed is when I was a kid, my grandparents thought it was like a huge treat to have pizza.
Yeah, we all did.
It was like, oh, tu quieres pizza? Like it would be like, they would say it to me like how they would talk to a dog, like, do you want a treat? Like, right. That's how it was such a big deal. And my grandfather would be like, I'm going to get the Supreme. Like, that's how good he was doing is I'm going to get the pizza with all the shit on it.
How's that changed? I still think that would be a big deal for my like nieces. They'd still be ecstatic to get some pizza.
I don't think so. I think they eat it a lot more. I think I've eaten pizza at my grandparents' house maybe like 9 times in my entire childhood. It was always a big deal.
You know, I didn't like pizza when I was a kid.
Really?
I wouldn't eat it.
No way.
Wouldn't eat pizza.
Why?
I don't know. I thought it was disgusting when I was a little kid. And I loved the Ninja Turtles.
Wow.
Figure that out. I was a weird.
When did you switch? Because you eat pizza now.
Yeah, I do. I had pizza a couple days ago. I think the switch happened when I was like in my 20s.
Really? That long?
Yeah.
I used to be, everybody used to eat pizza weird. I used to eat all the toppings off of it.
Mm-hmm.
and then scrape all the sauce off of it and then eat the bread.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I still do that, but don't eat the bread. Sometimes I'll just like, if I didn't pay for the pizza, like I got, they bought us pizza at work the other day, and sometimes I don't feel like eating an entire loaf of bread for lunch.
Sure.
So I just took like five pieces because there was so much pizza. Mm-hmm. I took five pieces.
So you just ate cheese and meat?
Yeah, just ate cheese and meat with a little tomato sauce there.
Yeah.
But I, what was the gripe?
Oh, yeah. People that ask what toppings are available when they're ordering pizza.
It's fucking black
especially
olives.
Especially over the phone. The toppings
sausage,
haven't changed.
Pepperonis, green peppers, mushrooms, pineapple, ham, all of it. If how about instead of wondering what, there's no freaky pizza places unless they advertise that they're freaky. The other thing is you can say, do you have pineapple? That's a funny way. Instead of making somebody have to list everything they have and then you zone out while they give the list and you still
like,
have
oh,
to
wait,
ask.
Did you have, so can I get this? Oh, you don't have that?
Do you have pork belly? No, we don't have pork belly, you fuck. We have pepperonis, green peppers, mushrooms.
Sausage.
Yeah. The shit
all
that
the
you have.
All the same shit that you've had on every pizza you've ever had. Because over the course of your life, you've had a pizza with an assortment of all, if one kind of combination, if not all of the combinations. Think of a supreme pizza. Any of those things, we can put on a fucking thing for you. What do you want?
I think that's gripe of the week right there.
Yeah. It got me fired up. Troy Gorda, you got the gripe of the week, baby. Gracias. And we want to say gracias to you, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
Muchos gracias.
Subscribe, guys. Give us a little review on the iTunes. Follow us on all the assorted social media at No Sir Pod, at Brian J. Vokey, at The Funny Carmen. You guys are great for listening. We appreciate you. If you need me in September, I'm going to be in St. Louis, and then I'm going to be in Lowell, Arkansas. If you don't know how to say it, just try to gag yourself and say love. It's the same thing. And then I'm going to be in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and then I'm going to be in...
You suck.
I know.
I'm going to be in Paris, Texas, Pittsburgh, Kansas. I'll be in New York, Wyoming. You can catch me in London, Florida. I'm crushing it, folks. You can catch me in San Francisco, California next week, or in Mesa, Arizona. The 31st and the 1st headlining sets, babies.
Thanks for listening, guys.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What does the fucking matter? What the fucking matter? What the stupid one?
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.